Hare Krishna. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, Srila Rashikanada Prabhu, and Srila Tamarna Goswami Maharaj. Because this occasion, we are going to sing a special song which really expresses the lamentation due to separation from God and his associates. It's written by Srila Narottama Thakur. We sang this song this morning, like the Mangala. So in the class also, because it's the day of celebrating the disappearance of three very exalted deputies, specialists, we will sing song. And that is why today also, today is the disappearance, dissolution of this personality. We don't have any particular word. We will speak on lives of these deputies. I read the translation of this song as goes as a bystand. Jamilo Premohano Koruma Prochu Kano Prabhu Laha Gala Arjya Thakur. He who brought the treasure of blind love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has the personality as Univash Arya gone? As I mentioned, it was written by Narottama Thakur when Srinivas Arya left this planet. They were very close friends, were very intimate associates to each other. And when Srinivas Arya left, Narottama Thakur was heartbroken. He expresses agony through song. Kaha moro sharup bor, kaha sanata, kaha dashokho natha, tito pavat. Where are my Sadhu Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatana? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Kaha mo ghatto jo, kaha kodaj, ekale koha gyala, gaur ataraj. Where my Raghu Bhatta and Gaur Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Adhiraj? Where is Gauranga? The great answer suddenly goes. Pashne kuti bokha ole posho, gaurango nero niti kothare pavyan. I will smash my head into the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Ranga, the reserve of all wonderful qualities? Sheshavo sangiro sange bikoilo bilash, sheshavo na paiyande narottadash. Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Ganga, accompanied by all the devotees in whose association he performed his pastime, Narottama Das simply weeps. Jayalo Primo Dhanu Koruna Roru Anilo Primo Dhanu Koruna Prochu Aya Prabhu Kotha Gela Acharya Thank you.
Thank you.
Today also we'll have a memorial ceremony of Tamasha Maharaj start at 10 o'clock. And we're fortunate to have with us Krishna Maharaj's younger brother, Karl, and his wife, Stan, here with us. And Karl will speak on Krishna Maharaj's glorious elder, and also any other senior devotee to speak on Krishna Maharaj. I remember after Tamasha Maharaj's disappearance, we had a memorial ceremony of Tamakrishna Maharaj in Govardhan, where my Maharaj used to spend a lot of time. Karl also was there at that time. And he gave such a moving description of his relationship with Tamakrishna Maharaj, how Tamakrishna Maharaj affected his life, that I couldn't resist the urge to just run up the stage and listen. sanctuary. We also have such a wonderful experience today. I'm sure ISKCON, everyone was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was very, very special devotee. I'm sure those who were acquainted with ISKCON know that when Srila Prabhupada came, Srila Mahaprabhu really sent many devotees to assist Srila Prabhupada. Srila Mahaprabhu had planted these devotees in the parts of the world, especially in America. Srila Prabhupada himself added that Mahaprabhu sent the devotees to assist him in his preaching mission. Spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj undoubtedly is one of the leading ones of his associates, eternal associates of Srila Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was born in 1946 in New York City. And he grew up like any other Americans of that time. From his childhood, he stood up as a very, very special person, very special guy. And like other American youth, thoughtful, intelligent American youth of those days in the 60s, Kamishna Maharaj also became disillusioned with the existing American society, intensely materialistic American society. In light of material disparity, the youth America became totally disillusioned with their materialistic way of life and they started to search for a positive alternative and a counterculture. And like many other youth of America, Tamal Krishna left home and went to San Francisco, which was the place for the young American at that time. And he was not even like the ordinary other Americans who just hanging out in Golden Gate Park and the area, in Ashbury area of San Francisco. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj actually went to the Redwood Forest and he's living there with a group of young boys and girls. And one suggestion that he lived in the hole of a red tree. He didn't have any, there was no home or even cottage, just in the hole of a redwood tree. The redwood tree is huge. And when sometimes there is some cavity in the tree, he was living there. And Srila Prabhupada went to that, when Prabhupada was invited to that community where this group of young boys and girls were living. Srila Prabhupada accepted the invitation and were there. And just one visit was good enough to attract Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnuji Maharaj and Gaurhari. Three of them were attracted to Prabhupada. They left the community and went to Los Angeles and joined Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada recognized him right at the beginning, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj became a very intimate associate of Srila Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj became the temple president of the temple that was established in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada actually sent him to various other missions. Like when movement started to develop in England, in London, due to the wonderful endeavor of Mother Mali and her husband, Shamshi Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu, Mother Dina, and Mukunda Maharaj and Jamaki Mataji. These three poles actually went to London and started a movement there. And it is due to their intense, sincere endeavor. The movement started to flourish. John Harrison became attracted to this movement. And he became a follower of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada sent Kamakshya Maharaj to London to assist him with Sankirtan, because Kamakshya Maharaj was an outstanding Sankirtan devotee. He was an exceptional organizer. And then he went to France, he went to Germany, and then Prabhupada sent him to India. And for years, Kamakshya Maharaj was a GC, I think from 70 to 74. Kamakshya Maharaj was BBC, I think. And it is Kamakshya Maharaj who actually cured this piece of land where in Mahim, where we are sitting. It was not easy to get land because some individuals were against Srila Prabhupada coming to Mahim and establishing his consciousness from India. Many devotees tried and failed. It was a very difficult job. Like, we didn't really have any setup. We didn't have, and Prabhupada couldn't really trust anybody with this alignment. I mean, local people. From Calcutta, from Mayapur, nobody was supporting Srila Prabhupada or helping Prabhupada. Rather, went against him. They were, and Kamakrishna Maharaj, he was so intelligent. He thought one person may separate element with him without letting anyone know. And he came here, lawyer, sat the banyan tree. Outside the road, there was a banyan tree, just next to the land, and he signed the contract. And that is how land was acquired. And he mentioned me, that he arrived in Calcutta late, quite late night after completed his assignment. And Prabhupada was still awake. Prabhupada was waiting for him. And Prabhupada was so pleased when he told him, he got the land. Jai Shri Shri Ramanavati, Jai Shri Rakhi Vrindu. So, in this way, Kamakshya Maharaj had so many wonderful achievements. And the way he asked Srila Prabhupada, such a wonderful way. And it is a pity that when our movement is really craving for his involvement, Kamakrishna Maharaj just left. Sometimes it appears. Rather, not only sometimes, it really appears that Kamakshya Maharaj left body for an accident. No. It was not that he left it being an accident. Kamakrishna Maharaj knew that he wanted to live. There are many devotees who actually have that experience. I also relate one experience I had, but Kamakrishna Maharaj being aware of his departure from this world, that he was to leave his body. But before I get into that, I will also mention Vishwambhar Prabhu, who is over here, mentioned he was lacking Kamakrishna Maharaj's suits before his leaving in the morning. Is it in the morning or night? At night. At night he was packing, and he told Kamakrishna Maharaj, just told him that he was leaving. He thought he was leaving. Maybe just, but he turned emphasizing that he was leaving, as if he knew he was leaving, not to come. And anyway, I will recall Vishwambhar Prabhu narrated that anecdote when we get together for Kamakshya Maharaj's memorial ceremony. I also had a similar experience. Kamakrishna Maharaj was, actually when the day he left, the morning, I didn't meet with him, I didn't see him. The day before that, we went to Calcutta, Jayapataka Maharaj, Gopalkrishna Maharaj and myself. We went to Calcutta to meet the police commissioner, police commissioner, about Captain Po. So we had a very important meeting. Devakinanda Prabhu also was there with us in the meeting. So, we came back very late. When I woke up, Kamakrishna had already left. He left right after Malaratik. But 3 days before that, 3 days before he left, I was chanting with him in his basin. He was pace went down and I was chanting with him. And at one point he just told me, you care of this boy in Calcutta. He meant that his disciples in Calcutta, quite a few young, very bright young boys, took initiation from Kamakrishna Maharaj, and Kamakrishna Maharaj was telling me about him, that please take care of him. So I said, and he said,
You are their father. Said, no, I'm not, you are the father. So he said, no, you're the father. At that time, generally,
a week under the guru's Indian spiritual state of the father and his god brother, the uncle. But he just kept insisting, and Trelawney talked with me, why he was speaking like that. And anyway, there were such instances which made us realize Kamal Krishna Maharaj knew that you need to leave. And also, other important information regarding this is after the autopsy, the medical report actually mentioned that Kamal Krishna Maharaj left his body before that in 2 days. So this is, at least to me, it's a clear indication that he left due to some divine arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada. A personality like this, being such an intimate associate of Srila Prabhupada, must have been brought back by Srila Prabhupada to assist him in some other mission that Srila Prabhupada involved now in other planet, or in the spiritual kind. His Holiness Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he is Srila Tamkrishna Maharaj, Dira Bhakti Mahotsav, he is Gopremanandi. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is our Param Gurudev. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's spiritual master was Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj's Siksha Guru was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered Jagannath Babaji Maharaj to be spiritual master. Jagannath Babaji Maharaj appeared. The exact date of his appearance is not known, but he appeared sometime around 1750. And he was born in the eastern part of Bengal, which is now Bangladesh. There is a district called Manshing, and Manshing there is a subdivision called Angail. So in that area, in a village, he appeared in a very aristocratic family. But from his childhood, he was very attracted to Krishna. And when he grew up, he left home and he went to Vrindavan. And he used to spend his time in Vrindavan in the forest. He was, from his early days, he was bhajanadi. He was completely absorbed in chanting the holy. There he came across Sri Madhusudana Das Babaji Maharaj, who was a disciple of Uddhava Das and the grand disciple of Baladitta Bhushan. Baladitta Bhushan is our prominent Arya in our Sangha. He has many wonderful achievements. Baladitta Bhushan's disciple was Uddhava Babaji, Uddhava Babaji's disciple was Madhusudana Das Babaji, and he was the that he gave him the Mahamsa stage. And so, in the Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj spent a good many years in Vrindavan. And in 1880, Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to Vrindavan. And there he met Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And right at the first meeting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur became extremely attached to him. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, seeing his urge, desire to teach, he was very inspired, and he asked him, and he instructed him on the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Jagannath Babaji Maharaj came to a place called Amla Jora in Bengal. He left Vrindavan, and it must have been over 130 years at that time. He was born, say, around 1959, it was 1980, I'm sorry. He was born in 1850s and it was in 1880s. So he was almost 130 years, or in his 130 years. So he was very, very old. And he came to Amla Jora, and his intention actually was to come to Matip. Because we see that Jagannath Babaji Maharaj and Gaurkishore Babaji Maharaj, both of them were in Vrindavan. But at some point they left Vrindavan and came to Navratri.
And then in 1893, Jagannath Babaji came to Navadvip on the outside of the Ganges in a place called Diya. And actually his accommodation was meant to be in a very prominent mosque ashram there. But Jagannath Babaji didn't want to go. His servant, Bihari, was with him. So Jagannath Babaji Maharaj to him that he stay under the tree. So he decided to stay under the tree. And stayed there in the tree, like under the tree bank, on the bank of the Ganges. Then one very well person, Madhavta, when he met Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, became so impressed that he bought that land for him. So he, when he purchased the land, and then to Vinod Thakur built two huts there for Jagannath Babaji Maharaj to stay. So that's how it developed, which the present day of Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. During the Parikrama, he built that place. So Jagannath Babaji Maharaj became very, very affectionate to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur became very attached to Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. Jagannath Babaji Maharaj came to Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house. And, Saranj in the side of the Nandi. And at time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered Mayapur. Originally, those days, people were thinking, people were under impression that the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is Mayapur, was on the other side of the river. Ganges. Still today, they made their claim that that is actual Mayapur. And they call Prachin Maya or Old Maya, and this is new Mayapur. It's not that, this is the original Mayapur. Bhaktivinoda actually got a divine vision one night. He saw this part, this particular beach area on this side of the river Jalani, lit up with a brilliant light. And he saw a city there, and he saw devotees from all different parts of the world chanting and dancing and mixing. So getting that vision, Jagannath Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually came the next morning and he found a neat tree. And there were many tulasi leaves around, tulasi trees around that neat tree. And he recognized that is the purpose of Sri Chaitanya. So through his journey, he identified, he could discover the original birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He actually confirmed this is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj from there. At that time, Jagannath Babaji Maharaj was more than 140 years old. He was about 144 years old at that time. And he could walk. You can imagine, 144-year-old person, he couldn't walk. Bihari, he had a certain very strong. Bihari used to put him, when Jagannath Babaji Maharaj used to go to some place, Bihari used to put him in a basket. And he used to carry him on a basket instead. And that's how he used to carry him from place to place. So Bihari brought Jagannath Babaji Maharaj to the place that Bhakti Vinoda identified the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jagannath Babaji Maharaj being there, his body was kind of folded practically, he was bent, aged. When he arrived there, he just stood up. He stood up, even described. His body was well over 6 feet. And was dancing in ecstasy, jumping high up in the air. Saying, this is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the birthplace. Eto Mahaprabhu Janmasthana, Eto Mahaprabhu Janmasthana. That's why Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's prayer goes like Gaura Bhava Bhumi Son, Nirdishta Janapriya, Vaishnava Sarvabhuma Sri Jagannathaya Devaha. Gaura Bhava Bhumi Son, the personality who identified Nirdishta, he actually pointed out that this is the birthplace of Chaitanya. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj identified the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is the Vaishnava Sarvabhauma. He is the monarch of the Vaishnava world, Vaishnava Kala. In the kingdom of the Vaishnava is the Sarvabhauma. And Sarvabhauma means, in Sanskrit, there are different designations for a king. A king and a superior king is a Samrat, and Samrat, above the Samrat is the Sarvabhauma, who is the one predominant ruler of the Sangha. So that's how Jagannatha Baji Maharaj has identified. There are very, very interesting anecdotes in Jagannatha Baji Maharaj's life. One important thing is, when Jagannatha Baji Maharaj came here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a young man at that time. And Jagannatha Baji Maharaj to know that he was a very accomplished astrologer. He was a very well-known scholar of astrology. The Astrological Society of India invited the title of Bhaktivinoda Siddhanta Saraswati to him at that time. Siddhanta. The Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur title has something to do with the title that he received, Siddhanta Saraswati. But then it was astrological consideration. Later on, it was his name actually identified the spiritual Siddhanta, the big Siddhanta, the Vaishnava Siddhanta Saraswati, which is the Bhakti. So, Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj actually told the Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to write a Vaishnava Panchi. The Vaishnav calendar. Calculate the Vaishnav calendar according to the Vaishnava calculation of astrology. There's a little difference between smart calculation and Vaishnava calculation, Goswami calculation. And that was the cause of Bhaktisiddhanta Sriti Thakur writing the Gauriya Panji. The Gauriya Panji that the almanac that we have due to his instruction. Then I briefly just mention one or two anecdotes. One anecdote is very beautiful. One day, some very rich man came to see Jagannatha Das Babaji Maharaj along his family. His name is Srinath Pai. He was king. King was a big landlord, very well landlord. And so he came to see Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj here in Puri, Navadvip. Jagannatha Das Babaji Maharaj, he was impressed to see Jagannatha Babaji. He was so humbled. He came and asked him to address him as Sri Baba, perfected soul. Which in that way Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj was actually known at that time. Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj's response was, no, I'm just an ordinary person. So he was very impressed. And then one time he told Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj to perform some miracle. That's Babaji Maharaj. Look, I can't perform any miracle or anything. But then something happened. Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj picked up a stick and with the stick started to hit the ground. And the person became very, very worried. He thought that Babaji Maharaj was so upset with him. So he is reacting this way. So he started to beg apology from him that, forgive me, I have done something. He said, no, it's not that. He said, some ghost, one has entered Lokanath Goswami's one kutir and is eating the tulasi. So I'm going to remove it. So that man, out of curiosity, he sent a return telegram to Radha Kund. And the reply came that around that time, a ghost really came to Lokanath Goswami's bhajan kutir, ashram. And he was eating up the tulasi plant there. Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj sitting in Navadvip, he was driving the goat out of Lokanath Goswami's kutir in Radhakum in Vrindavan. And a wonderful merciful act display of Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj. Jagannatha Babaji was very old and he could basically see those days. He was displaying pastimes of old days. And at that near his house, a dog gave birth, a female dog gave birth to five puppies. And when Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj used to eat, these puppies used to come and surround his place. Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj used to give the food. So Thari, Jagannatha Babaji Maharaj's servant, became very, very concerned about that. He didn't like that this dog was just, and Babaji Maharaj was reacting to that, to them in such a way. Dogs are considered to be unclean animals. So, one day he undertook the dog away, this puppy away. And this Chatham time. So Yagananda Babaji saw that the priests were not there. He just called Bihari and said, take this plate away. Take this plate away. Bihari said, what happened? Yagananda Babaji said, where are the priests? Where are the priests? So Bihari brought the puppies. Jagannath Babaji Maharaj told him that these are ordinary dogs. These are the dogs of the holy dharma. So, Srila Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, he... Rasikandu Prabhu was an exceptionally brilliant personality. He was born in a royal family in a place Royna, which is in the Nagpur district in the southwest of Bengal. And he was an extremely handsome person, extremely learned. And he became interested in spiritual life in a young age. And Bhakti Ratnakar describes that when he became so intensely interested in spiritual life, and there was a divine voice from the sky announcing, don't worry, soon your spiritual master will come and see you. And due to that divine celestial voice, very soon a great Vaishnava came to that place, to Royna, and was Shamananda. Shamananda Prabhu was a disciple of Chaitanya Prabhu and was a Shiksha disciple of Jiva Swami. I mentioned about Srinivas Acharya, Nandas Thakur and Shamananda Prabhu. These three personalities were the stalwart acharyas after the Swami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, Nityananda Prabhu continued preaching in Bengal and this part of India. And the Goswamis were writing books and absorbed in Bhajananda in Vrindavan. And after Nityananda Prabhu, Jagannath Mata was preaching, he became head of the community, Vaishnava Samaj. And then the Swamis also considered to be the stalwart acharya. And after that, these three personalities were most prominent. Srinivas, Narottam, and Amananda. So Shyamananda Prabhu, just as they met, Shyamananda met Rasikananda Prabhu, they became very... it was obvious that they were just waiting for each other. Immediately Rasikananda surrendered and Shyamananda accepted him and he gave initiation. And so he was prince. But he was not at all interested in his life affairs. He just came traveling with Guru from that time onwards. And he was a brilliant preacher, exceptionally brilliant preacher. Many kids became affected by his preaching, became his disciple, Rasikananda Prabhu's disciple. And not only the kings, but the dacoits became his disciples, Muslims became his disciples. Now, many, many people became his disciples, and a wave of Vaishnava culture actually was inundating Bengal at the time, that part of Bengal at the time, and Orissa. Shyamananda Prabhu mainly preached in Orissa. And all these kings I mentioned, the king of Mayurbhanj became his, Vaidyanathanj became his disciple, the king of Kena, and into a few kings came disciples and they joined the kingdom, the Vaishnava king. And this way, he was reaching most actively. And the whole of Orissa, that part, northern part of Orissa, was pretty much affected by his preaching. And at that time, due to the Muslim attack, the pujaris hit the deity of Gopinath on a pond and they ran away. Because they were afraid the Muslims would come break the temple. Not the Muslim, there was a person who, India, the Hindu king, who actually became a convert. And he started to hit the deities. So he, due to their fear, they ran away and they hit the deity there. And Rasikananda Prabhu had a dream. Gopinath was telling him he was there at pond. So Rasikananda Prabhu went to the Yamuna, the place of Kichar Gopinath. And from the pond, actually retrieved the deity and restated the deity. From that time, Advaita stayed there. For many years, he stayed, and then one day, he was dancing in Kiran where his disciples were singing Mridanga and Karta and other instruments. At that time, Rasikaru Prabhu entered into the temple and disappeared at the lotus feet of Govind. And when his disciples realized, he left. They stopped their Kiran, they dropped the Mridanga and Karta, and they also dropped their bodies. And they, seven of them left their bodies. And Rasikananda's samadhi is not there because body was not there. So his pushamadhi is there in Ramana next to Gopi temple, along with his associates, seven devotees who all left their bodies in this. Sri Rasikananda Prabhu ki, Rasikananda Prabhu's appearance day celebration ki, Gaur Prihana Day. Srila Prabhupada ki. So I will stop. GB singers have their meetings at 10 o'clock. They have to go to breakfast. So I will not invite questions. And there is no other questions to ask all. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Go Premanande.